This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food.
Hello.
Hi, hello.
My name is Dana. I'll be taking care of you today. If you have any questions about the menu, please let me know.
I guess I do have a question about the chicken, if you could just tell us a little bit more about it.
The chicken is a heritage breed, woodland-raised chicken that's been fed a diet of sheep's milk, soy, and hazelnuts.
Okay, this is local?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I'm going to ask you just one more time, and it's local.
It is.
Is that USDA organic or Oregon organic or Portland organic?
It's just all across the board, organic.
The hazelnuts, these are local?
How big is the area where the chickens are able to roam free?
I'm sorry to interrupt. I have exactly the same question.
4 acres. Mm. Give me just a second. I'll be right back, okay?
Okay.
Nice. Farm-to-table restaurants are all the rage. That clip from the hit TV show Portlandia illustrates just how out of hand it can get when consumers have the desire to re-engage with where their food comes from. Or is that even the motivation?
So here is the chicken you'll be enjoying tonight.
You have this information. This is fantastic.
Absolutely. His name was Colin. Here are his papers, okay?
That's great. He looks like a happy little guy who runs around. A lot of friends, other chickens as friends. Putting his little wing around another one and kind of like palling around.
I don't know that I can speak to that level of intimate knowledge about him. They do a lot to make sure that their chickens are very happy.
When you say they, I mean, who are these people raising Colin?
It's a farm that's located about 30 miles south of Portland.
Gone are the days of subsistence living. 100 years ago, probably every one of the couple of thousand or so Central Coast households would most likely have had a kitchen garden, and they would know exactly where their dairy and meat came from. Sure, we know if our meat and dairy comes from Vons, Trader Joe's, or Whole Foods, but the 1918 Central Coast residents would have probably known the cow by name.
You have this information. This is fantastic.
Absolutely. His name was Colin. Here are his papers, okay?
That's great.
I visited 2 kitchen gardens and discovered that playing with food in the garden is engaging with food in a good old-fashioned way that doesn't have to be pretentious. The gardening began at Westmont College in Santa Barbara.
My name is Kenny Chisholm, and I'm the vegetable garden manager here at Westmont College. I'm relatively new to the position. I've been working this garden for 6 months. We're right next to our tennis court, so I have the joyous opportunity to listen to people playing tennis while I garden. It's kind of fun. I've never actually played tennis myself. They hit them over sometimes, and I'm always happy to throw it back. So this garden started about 8 years ago. It was a Westmont student, actually, who started it. He worked with Sodexo, who caters our dining commons, to fund just enough money to break ground in a couple areas on campus where there wasn't really much going on. He started to cultivate the land to grow crops for our dining commons. Everything that comes out of the gardens is Sodexo's, so we use it for the dining commons for the most part. And every week we bring usually like 4 or 5 different vegetables or herbs and work them into dishes in our dining commons. In this garden here, we have Swiss chard growing, we have kale, squash, peppers over here. I haven't tasted them yet, but I'm sure they're quite spicy. We also have some snap peas growing, some strawberries, corn, cilantro flowers. I mean, we have borage, we have chamomile, fennel plants, collard greens, which I'm currently flowering. Yeah, we have a lot of stuff that is growing. It's kind of fun to experiment to see what we can grow here. And we also take student input. So if students in our garden club want to offer a suggestion for what to plant, we're always happy to try it out. It's kind of fun for me to see as well what we can grow here, what grows well, what is harder to grow here.
Up in Los Osos, the year-old Blue Heron restaurant has a dedicated small farm as its primary supply chain.
Brian Robles, and I'm the chef de cuisine at the Blue Heron.
Right now we are right next to Montana de Oro in Los Osos, California, and we are at the farm of the Blue Heron. It grows about 80 to 90% of all the produce that we utilize in the restaurant.
The 2 kitchen gardens were on different scales, but they had similar aims and similar procedures. Both kitchens had compost and chickens.
What isn't used will soon be going into compost. We're kind of getting a composting system working in our kitchens probably over the summer, and then for the next school year, we'll have it up and running.
The compost pile will come in handy next academic year, and there are some little creatures that are helping out now.
I see the ladybugs on there.
Yeah, we actually have a lot of ladybugs. The other day, I was looking over at some of our plants over here by our squash, and I saw these insect larvae on our plants, and I thought, uh-oh, we've got an insect infestation. And I called my friends at the seed store, and I told them a bit about what it looked like, and they said, oh, it might be this bug, might be that bug. Can you send us a picture? So I sent them a picture, and they said, oh, that's ladybug larvae. I was like, what? They look completely different from what ladybugs that I'm used to seeing. So I thought that some of our plants were doomed, but turns out we actually have a lot of new friends grown up amidst the leaves of our garden. That's kind of exciting.
The Blue Heron compost pile is a little bit more developed, shall we say?
The soil in Los Osos is very kind of sandy. We've had quite a few issues when we first initially started growing crops here, regards to soil pathogens, nutrient content, salt contents. And the main solution to that is tilling the soil with enough organic matter to battle those issues, basically. The more organic matter and the more balance you have in your soil, the better it is to grow crops in. So this compost pile is where we'll take scraps that we can't use, bones from our stock, excess fish carcasses, things like that. And those scraps from the restaurant will come back, we'll put them into the soil over here. And this thing is actually alive. So what it does is it kind of almost ferments. And if you come out here on a really, really cold day, you'll actually see these piles, they emit heat. They emit like nice steam that comes off of them. And that compost pile is directly what helps propagate the new crops for the farm, what helps give nutrients when we till new soil for new crops that are coming.
One would think that the chickens would be in the garden.
If the chickens were in the garden, we wouldn't have much to harvest. They would probably eat anything that they could. So we have just a little coop here, which is home to actually 7 chickens. A couple of them are probably up in the coop right now. We do throw them regular, you know, supplementary greens from our own garden as well, which they really enjoy. They are true California chickens because they do love themselves some kale. But yeah, there's kind of a bit of animal product difficulties to actually be able to serve eggs in the dining commons, just like certifications and things like that. So yeah, we don't use them in the dining commons, but we do, you know, let our volunteers grab eggs if they want. Very fresh, very local, also organic, since they eat our organic produce. That hen is Michelle. She is the top of the pecking order here, so she's happy to make her presence known.
So we have our own chicken coop here. And the best part about that is any scraps or things that we can't utilize in the kitchen, strawberry tops, maybe lettuce bottoms, beetroot tops, anything that we can't utilize or put into a vegetable stock comes directly back to the farm and it feeds and nurtures all of our chickens. In turn, those chickens, the manure that we get from them, we mix that in with our compost pile. We think we have about 200 birds now, and the plan is they're going to enlarge this coop, make it even bigger. They produce, on average, maybe about 12 flats of eggs a week, so it's actually really nice having that luxury at the restaurant. Egg prices have went up in our industry recently, and it's kind of nice to not have to deal with that.
And none of them are in cages?
No, none of them are in cages. They all run around. They're all free-range chickens. They're all happy birds. They produce really, really large, nice, firm, bright yellow yolks and eggs for us. We don't eat any of the chickens. They are just utilized to lay eggs here at the restaurant, so
yeah. Seeing what is in the gardens is great, but now that I know what they are playing with in the garden, I want to know how they're playing with food in the kitchen.
You've got a couple pea plants here, but it doesn't look like you'd have enough peas to serve all of the students who come in.
Yeah, some plants we grow, you know, very intentionally for use in the dining commons. And other plants, I honestly grow more for like a snack for volunteers when they come in. They grow relatively easily. It's just an easy snack, and it's kind of something that people are used to like having as a snack. I mean, it's kind of fun to be able to pick a pea off of the plant itself and just snack it.
Kenny makes sure some of his garden delights make it into the dining room. We're back in the dining room, mm-hmm. where some of your fresh vegetables go. We're here at the salad bar. Do you use any of your stuff in the salad bar?
Yeah, so one of the things that we regularly bring up to the salad bar is our kale. And then we'll also oftentimes put out tomatoes. Usually that's more of an early fall kind of thing. And we've also had our beets out here. Even like stuff like carrots, we can put in as well sometimes. As long as the gophers don't get our carrots, then we can put them in the dining commons.
Today's Friday, and I noticed that you have something called Food Fresh Friday.
Farm Fresh Friday. That's a weekly event that we have. That's the day that we really bring out our produce and highlight it. That's when we'll have our kale salad bar, have anything like maybe some greens in a soup, Swiss chard, collard greens, anything like that. We'll like cook into a soup. If we have some beans, like fava beans, we can put them in the soup as well. Herbs, we'll do like basil, sage, thyme. We grow a lot of herbs in our garden as well. So yeah, usually we'll have about 4 or 5 stations around the dining commons that will have our stuff. So we have like a Swiss chard flatbread pizza that we serve. And we usually have about 900 students come in per meal.
At Blue Heron, a lot more goes into the kitchen.
Over here is our herb section. So we have some rosemary right here. We have some thyme, sage garden, oregano's right here.
Do all your herbs for the restaurant come from this farm? Because it's quite extensive.
Yes, they do. We don't have to rely on anyone else for herbs right now. Parsley, cilantro, rosemary, thyme, sage, oregano, all those things are coming directly from our farm.
The menu is planned around the garden.
The main thing in the vision behind the farm on kind of a culinary scale is that you want to showcase the things that come off the farm just the way that they are. So what we'll do is we'll make an artichoke app special with maybe a aioli, and we'll sous vide it and then take it and smoke it, maybe slightly char it, and then kind of incorporate a bunch of flavors, you know, that are seasonality and going on at the time. And then we'll plate that up and we'll utilize it as just kind of like a verbal special in the restaurant. Maybe pair it with a nice glass of wine and have it as an offering on a Friday or Saturday evening.
So today we're utilizing our zucchini from the farm. We're utilizing our fennel. The zucchini will be on the set that we're using for our steak. The fennel we utilize in two different places on the menu right now, in our cioppino as a broth. And these are all of our fennel stalks right here. And in one of our pasta dishes, it rounds out the flavor to the pasta and has a really nice feel. We have a heirloom beet salad on our menu right now. We have fava beans to do a fava bean hummus. We also have kale for our Thai kale salad with our salmon on our menu as well. The daikon radish are all of our herbs from our garden, all the eggs from our chicken coop. There's quite a few things on my menu that we utilize with this farm. One of the blessings of this project is, for me, it's grown in-house, so it's free. As far as fruits are concerned, though, our berry patches are going to be our heavy hitter with our farm. So our blueberries, our raspberries, our strawberries, our white raspberries, and our white strawberries are the things that we'll use.
And you might not get what you thought you were coming for if you don't come early.
You'll notice with the Blue Heron that our menu fluctuates quite frequently because we try to keep everything so seasonal and utilize what's at hand. There's a lot of change that happens in the restaurant and with the menus themselves. Other crops, they have a very, very high yield, so those things will become the staples on the menu, at least maybe for, you know, 2-3 weeks at a time versus changing on a weekly basis.
Back at Westmont, Kenny taught me something pretty cool about the joys of the kitchen garden.
We will take our nasturtium flowers and we'll put them over at the salad bar so students can like add some color to their salads, as well as adding a bit of a spicy kick. I don't know if you've tried nasturtiums, but they almost have somewhat of a horseradish kind of taste to them. I mean, they're just like a pretty strong kick.
Can we try them now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So there's a lot of different colors. You can really grab any of them.
Okay.
So yeah, I just say grab one, give it a little check for pest, maybe a little blow, and then you can just eat the whole thing.
Okay. It's kind of nice. Sweet. Oh, there was a sweet, and then there's a spicy. It's exactly like horseradish.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going for steak tonight. Maybe I'll put some nasturtiums on it.
There you go. Absolutely.
You only really see them to garnish a soup to add, like you said, add color. But I think it would go well with prime rib.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it definitely adds a great kick that, I mean, you know, most people don't think about eating flowers very often. They just think of it as kind of an ornamental decoration. But yeah, this definitely has a flavor of its own that can definitely bring an interesting and unique flavor to a regular dish.
This show always gives me a new taste sensation. Westmont has a garden club that gets students engaged with the kitchen garden and fosters learning about where our food comes from. And the education goes beyond just the garden club.
We usually have like 5 to 10 students a week who come to our garden clubs on Fridays. So students can come and have a relaxing way to start their weekend. And, you know, we'll snack on peas or strawberries and something like that. I don't know if it started right when the garden started, but I've been part of the garden club since I was a freshman, which was 5 years ago. It's our volunteer, you know, workforce. Currently, it actually has kind of moved to be called the Garden and Sustainability Club. We do events around sustainability. We also have sometimes have like little like farm to table kind of meals, or make a salad from just our own garden stuff.
So how much food education do you have to do with students?
We do some education for classes. Just on Wednesday, we had a food systems class come. They were here for about 2 hours. We first had a bit of a discussion on a reading that they had previously read that had to do with gardening and like our relationship to the soil and like theology of gardening, things like that. So we kind of engaged in a discussion around that led by their professor. And then I gave them a garden tour. Part of that garden tour always involves pointing out these flowers that people notice. They're beautiful flowers. And then I say, yeah, eat it. And they look at me with a puzzled look and I say, no, no, really. And then I pick one up and eat one. And they're like, what?
Similarly, Brian at Blue Heron gets the wider community involved.
So when you need limes and lemons for the restaurant, they come directly from here?
That is correct. We also have a group of people all throughout Los Osos who actually donate to the restaurant because they like to see their products utilized on a professional level. So we gladly take those donations and then we'll turn them around, make them into desserts, feature them. And then when the customer comes in that gave us the produce, we'll actually just let them try it, have it for free, and you know, we're very thankful for that.
So when you say that, are these people who are commercial farmers, or are they
local residents of Los Osos?
So when I have my enormous crop of persimmons in December, I can bring them over?
I will absolutely utilize them and turn them into 20 different things, and you can come in and I'll definitely show you. Yeah, it's really nice.
Uh-huh. Just a warning that the Hachia persimmons, not the Fuyu ones.
So I can still use both. We went persimmon crazy last year. We had so many coming in off the farm.
He clearly doesn't know how many persimmons I get from my one tree. Unlike the scene from Portlandia, in which farm-to-table cooking was trendy and pretentious, the Westmont and Blue Heron kitchen gardens are about true engagements with where our food comes from. Stepping out in the garden to grab a ripe vegetable for lunch or dinner was a lot more common for everyone 100 years ago. Both Kenny and Brian are trying to recreate that engagement with our food and to educate people about that food and about where their food comes from. And they themselves have come along with their own journeys.
How is it that the chef of the restaurant also knows everything about not just the farm, but the horticulture behind the farm?
You can be a farm-to-table restaurant, but that doesn't just mean that you're ordering, you know, organic produce or you're working with a local farmer. To me, this is a farm-to-table restaurant. It's a utilization of every single thing that comes in through your building in the most sustainable, ethically positive way that you can. And to me, it's exciting to see something that I couldn't utilize in any other restaurant that I've worked, something that would just go into a bin of some sorts, as you will. And being able to take that and then return it back into nature and then use it to actually nurture everything. It's the full circle, which really closes the deal and makes me happy as a chef and working at the Blue Heron. This is the first restaurant that I've worked at that was attached to a farm directly that grew just for the restaurant. So when I first started here, I was constantly in the Farmer John's ear, you know, asking him all these questions. What's this? What's this? Why do we do this? Why do we do this? And he was nothing but pleased to hear those things from me and to explain how they all work together. That's how I started my firm understanding of what it means to, you know, run the farm, all the work that goes into the farm, how the kitchen can help out with that, and then watching it all come together. It's been a pleasurable experience.
And Kenny's own playing with food in the Westmont Kitchen Garden has brought him and his classmates to a whole new appreciation for food.
Okay, so it's not washed or anything. Am I gonna die?
You will not die.
Okay.
There's a little bit of dirt on there. No problem.
Okay.
Just go for it.
Beautiful strawberry. Wow. It's a beautiful taste. It's actually a beautiful strawberry. But the difference is that it's softer than the strawberries you get in the supermarket.
Hmm.
And I'm wondering if the way that we process food, even fresh food,
mm-hmm.
gives it a different texture.
One thing that I understand about commercial farming is that you usually harvest stuff before it's fully ripe, so it would definitely be harder at that point. And I imagine probably also just being in, you know, a refrigerated environment probably keeps it pretty solid, potentially even like on the verge of being frozen, but not quite there. So like, I'm sure it would be a bit harder. Whereas this is air temperature, never been put through that kind of different colder temperatures. That probably contributes to why it's a bit softer.
Okay, and that's something that students should know. The younger you learn about food, the better chance we have of having more sustainable farming practices, in my mind.
Yeah, that's honestly what brought me to gain an interest in gardening, is that I grew up in suburbia, the East San Francisco Bay Area. You know, my mom had some flower beds, but we never grew our own food. Of course, I knew that fruits and vegetables came from the ground, but I didn't know it in my mind. Rather, I only knew it in my mind. Really, food came from the grocery store. That's where you got your food from. It was oddly novel when I came and was just growing the food from seed to full fruit. There's just something kind of magical about that. It comes out of a place of just a mental knowledge, and it comes into like a more of a place of like a lived experiential knowledge. So that absolutely gave me a passion for growing food, you know, no matter how much it is, even if it's something small, just taking part in growing food, I think, is a huge, will be a huge step forward for younger generations thinking about food quality and the systems that we get our food through.
It's definitely a lofty aim for young people to understand where their food comes from, as long as every restaurant experience doesn't turn out into a scene from Portlandia. I think Kenny and Westmont are bound to change that too with their Westmont Gardens summer project.
This summer, we're looking to actually support some of the Montecito mudslide victims with our own produce from the gardens. Now that our students are, for the most part, gone from campus, that are not doing Farm Fresh Friday, you know, we're going to have more produce. Plus, it's summertime, so that's when we're going to have more produce anyway. So we're looking to get connected with individuals and families who are affected by mudslides, and hopefully we can offer a very local produce option to supplement their, you know, their regular diets, and hopefully that will bring some joy to them after all this tragedy has happened.
If you have your garden ready for the summer, I hope you spend time out playing with food and discovering its potential. Unfortunately, I have two brown thumbs. In the last year, I managed to kill 3 mint plants. Mint, which people tell me can't be killed. I'm just going to have to sneak into Brian and Kenny's gardens to fill my fridge. Happy summer! I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.